All right, we are we're finishing up Jonah. Okay, we've talked about Jonah and the sailors, Jonah and the fish, the big fish, Jonah and the Ninevites, and then today we're talking about Jonah and Zona. Today we're talking about Jonah and God. We're finally here on the hill. Jonah's finally on the hill. I know you've been waiting for that. Let me recap Jonah, though, so you remember where we're at. Jonah hears a message from God, and God says, Jonah, go east and tell Nineveh that I'm going to destroy them. Jonah goes west. He doesn't want to go east. And we actually find out Jonah doesn't want to go east, not because he doesn't want to give this message, but because he actually believes that God's going to have grace on his enemies. Okay, that's why he's running away. We're going to find that out today. So I spoiled that. Sorry about that. Jonah goes west. When he's supposed to go east, he gets on a boat. He's thrown off the boat because there's a big storm. And he's like, yeah, this storm's because of me. God's angry. They throw him off the boat a bit. And Jonah sinks to the depths of the ocean. He's as good as dead. Okay. He actually says he's in Sheol, the place after life, the place of death. Okay. And a big fish comes and swallows Jonah up. God actually appoints a big fish. So it's like the messenger of God. This big fish comes and picks Jonah up from the depths of death, basically, and spits him out on dry land. And then God goes to Jonah again, and God says, Jonah, go to the Ninevites, go to your enemies. Nineveh was the capital city of this place called Assyria, and Assyria was a terrible country. They were oppressive and terrible, and they were torturous and terrible. And God says, go to your enemies, go to this terrible country, and tell them that they are going to be destroyed because of their evilness, okay? And so that's where we are today. Where Jonah is angry. Well, actually, I forgot this part. Jonah goes through the city and he says, God's going to destroy you. And he basically takes like one third of, he doesn't even go all in. And the people listen to this message from Jonah and they repent and they put on sackcloth and they mourn. And God actually relents. He turns away from his anger and from his destruction. And he turns away and he shows grace to these evil people. And Jonah now is furious. Okay, so this is where we are, that Jonah is furious that God has shown mercy to the evil Ninevites. So I'm going to read all of chapter 4. It's kind of short, but listen up. Try to follow along. Jonah was greatly displeased and became furious. He was displeased and became furious because God had mercy on his enemies. Jonah prays to the Lord. Please, Lord, isn't this what I said while I was still in my own country? That's why I fled towards Tarshish in the first place. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, abounding in faithful love, and one who relents or turns away from sending disaster. And now, Lord, take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Jonah is really upset. The Lord asked Jonah, is it right for you to be angry? Jonah left the city and he found a place east of it. He made himself a shelter there and sat in its shade to see what would happen to the city. So here Jonah is on the hill. Then the Lord God appointed a plant, and it grew over Jonah to provide shade for his head, to rescue him from his trouble. So God sends this plant, and it grows, and Jonah has shade. Jonah was greatly pleased with the plant. He was happy. When dawn came the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant, and it withered. As the sun was rising, God appointed a scorching east wind. The sun beat down on Jonah's head so much that he almost fainted. And he wanted to die again. He said, it is better for me to die than to live. Then God asks Jonah another question. Is it right for you to be angry about the plant? God says, yes, it's right, Jonah replied. I'm angry enough to die. Here Jonah is again, so angry that he doesn't want anything to do with life anymore. And the Lord says to Jonah, you cared about the plant, which you did not labor over and did not grow. It appeared in a night and perished in a night. And then God lays this one on Jonah. So may I not care about the great city of Nineveh, which has more than 120,000 people who cannot distinguish between their right and their left, as well as many animals. Let me pray. God, would you remind all of us that you are a God that desires to show us grace, that you are a God who shows grace and gives grace to those who most need it, not those who most deserve it, but those who most need it. Would you put that in all of our hearts, and would you help us to realize
the amount of grace that we need, the amount of grace alone that we need. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I love that Emily, when she shared, she was like, it's by God's grace. All this is by God's grace. And even realizing your own weaknesses and faults and things that aren't whole all the way. All of us have these things. And I love that actually Emily pointed this out, because this is the main thing I want to talk about with Jonah and God. God's grace, and I think Jonah needs to realize this, and we all need to realize this, God's grace is for those who need it most. Okay, not those who deserve it, but those who need it most. All right. I'm coaching a little kid soccer team right now, and there's one kid on my team. I'll rename him. We'll call him Sean. Sean is this awesome kid, okay? He has a lot of energy. He's awesome, but he gets into trouble at school. At soccer, he's really good. At school, he gets into trouble, all right? And actually, he got into so much trouble at home that he got kicked off of our team. And I was like, I understand, you know, to his parents. I was like, I understand, you know, you got to do what you got to do. In my head, I was like, can't you just like show him grace? Like, he's awesome. Let him come be part of our team. So this kid is awesome. But then there are some kids on our team that I wish their parents would be like, he can't play anymore. Because there's some kids on our team that have really bad attitudes. They're mean. I don't want to say it, but they're like a parasite to our team, okay? They suck the life out of our team. And I'm just like, can someone just come like judge, like show judgment to this kid and take him off this team? Like, why do we have grace on them? Doesn't matter what grade. It could be you, Caleb.
I believe that.
But there's this thing in me where I want some people to have grace. I want some people to be shown grace. I want myself to be shown grace. And then there's other people who I'm like, you don't deserve grace. You don't deserve it. And I think we all have this tendency. And I also think Jonah, that's kind of exactly what's going on here with Jonah. Okay, Jonah starts out saying that Jonah is furious with God because God has had mercy on the people that Jonah thinks God should not have mercy on. And so Jonah's furious. Jonah wants mercy for himself, but he gets angry, right? God actually plants this tree to give shade to Jonah on the sunny day. God plants a tree and Jonah's like, yes, the shade. And then God appoints a worm to eat the tree, and then he has no shade. And then God sends a blistering hot heat and Jonah's like, oh, it's so hot out here. And he's like angry. He's so angry. And he's like, God, like, why don't you have grace on me? And he's furious. He wants grace for himself, but he's so angry that God has showed grace to the Ninevites, to his enemies, to those he doesn't think deserve grace. God explains that Jonah actually wants grace for his little problem, right? This like that's hot outside and he doesn't have any shade. But Jonah doesn't want grace for other people's big problems. Like, these are people, these are Ninevites who are actually, they don't know what's good and what's bad. Like, inside they're torn and they're ripped apart and they're evil. And what they need is they need transformation. They don't just need a nice breeze on a cool day like Jonah does, sitting on a hill and looking over a city hoping for judgment. But what they need is actually, they need something greater. They need real deep transformation, grace. And Jonah says, I just want my little pretty life up here with the breeze. God, give me that grace. But don't give an even greater grace to the people who actually, who really, really need it most. And actually, even more, Jonah knows in verse 2, Jonah prays to the Lord. And he says, please, Lord, isn't this what I said while I was still in my own country? That's why I fled towards Tarshish in the first place. He says, I fled to Tarshish because I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, abounding in faithful love, and one who relents from sending disaster. Jonah knew exactly that if he went to his enemies, that God would have grace on them. And Jonah said, I don't want you to have grace on them. I'm not going to go. Even though I know what everyone needs most is God's grace, I'm not going to go and speak about it. Jonah doesn't want to live in tune with the truth that God is gracious to those who need it most, even his enemies. So as we think about this, okay, in your life, I want you all to reflect for a second, think as I ask these questions. Who in our society, in your schools, in your families, in your friend groups, or in your non-friend groups, who in all those places do you think are far off, or do you see as far off? Who comes to mind first? You don't have to say it, don't say it out loud. And think about them right now, okay? If you're picturing a person right now, God's grace is for that person who you don't think deserves it, who you think is far off. That's who God's grace is for. And actually, God is already extending grace towards them, whether you do or not.
God is already extending grace towards them. And the question, the real question is, do you want to partake in this movement of God, of God's grace? It's not whether you have the power to extend God's grace, and if you don't, God's grace isn't going to be shown to them. God is already doing it, and do you want to partake in who God is already? God is moving, and are you going to move with him? Or do you want to ignore it? And, you know, I think the only way that we can actually ignore God's grace for other people is when we don't know how deeply we need God's grace for ourselves. You know, when we think of ourselves not as far off or not as bad as these people or not as far gone as these people, we don't know the amount of grace that God has already met us with, that God has already met you with and continues to meet you with. And we'll be like Jonah. We'll be sitting on a hill wanting cheap grace, wanting just a leaf, some shade, nothing to really impact who we really are, but just something to make us feel better. But we really need to know in the depths of our being that God is gracious to us and that we need God's grace because we all need it because we have desperately fallen short in many ways, not loved others as God desires for us to, not love God as God desired for us to. We are the ones who are far off, and we need to experience the transforming power, the deep inner workings of God's grace in our lives. You know, God met Jonah in the depths of his rebellion. Remember, Jonah was thrown off a boat because of his rebellion, and he's in the depths. And I love that Jonah says, I cried out from Sheol. Like, he cried out from the place of death. That's how far gone Jonah was, and that's where actually God met him. And like the point of no return, that is where God met him and rescued him. And that is where God meets us in the depths of when we think there's no turning back, when we think there's no goodness left for us, that is where God meets us in the midst of our sin and guilt and shame and darkness and brings us new life. That is the kind of grace God meets all of you with. And I've kind of been sharing stories about Jesus that Jonah kind of reminds me of. This reminds me of a passage that Jesus, in Luke and in Mark and a couple different places, Jesus is hanging out with those who are far off, okay? He's hanging out with some tax collectors, people who are viewed as enemies to a lot of people in society, and some Pharisees, the religious people, people who know it all, come up to Jesus and they say, Jesus, why are you eating with the sinners and the tax collectors? Like, why are you coming to spend time with them? Why are you loving them? And Jesus responds, he says this, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I came not to call the righteous, but the unrighteous. So as we go from here in a few minutes, or as you're thinking tonight or tomorrow morning, think about these questions. Do you want to experience the real transforming grace of God? To truly experience it, we actually need to come to terms with how much we need it, desperately, with how our unrighteousness, with our sickness, not physical sickness necessarily, but with the sickness of our hearts, the ways that we are prone to do what we want instead of, you know, love God and love those around us. We need to come to terms with that because that is who God meets with grace again and again, those who desperately need it. Let me pray. God, would you help us, not even help us, but would you make us to be aware of the amount of grace that we need, and even the insurmountable amount of grace that you show to us, how your grace overfills our need. God, would that be a reality for everyone, for every student and leader and person here? Would we know the depths of your grace for us, that even in the depths of our sin, you meet us again and again, and your grace is for those who are far off. Would you help us to realize that we are the ones who are far off? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.